And welcome to What's Brewing, a show about anything and everything Bruin sports. I'm your host, Mike Regalado, and we have a very special show today as we are bringing on UCLA women's basketball head coach Corey Close. Yes, the coach will be here very shortly, but before we do, let's get down to some business. You can reach us at Twitter at What's Brewing Show. We are on the Instagram at What's Brewing Show. On Facebook, check us out at facebook.com/What's Brewing Show. And if you have any comments or questions, you can reach us at the What's Brewing hotline, 805-399-4WBS. But now, let's get to the heart of this podcast. Head coach Corey Close. And with me on the What's Brewing hotline is a special guest, a guest we've had before. She joined us last year, and we are grateful for her to be joining us again to tell us about what is going on with her team. She's just had a fantastic run, especially in the last 4 years, and this year looks to start, it could be her best season in Westwood. But joining us here on the What's Brewing Show, UCLA women's basketball head coach Corey Close. Coach, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate all you do for Bruin Sports, and I'm excited to share our story.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I said before we did this podcast, you know, you guys are just doing, you know, some amazing things, and so that, you know, I just wanted to get more coverage out there. But let's backtrack just a little bit. I want to go back to the start of the 2018-19 season. You lost two huge players in Jordan Canada and Monique Billings, and from an outsider's perspective, we were wondering, how is the team going to, continue? And you guys did have a rough start. You started 3-5,
yes,
but ended 7-5 mm-hmm. in non-conference. But then, out of nowhere, have a 12-6 conference record. You had your fourth 20-win season, and you made it to the Sweet 16 for the fourth year in a row. What was that like? You know, what was the evolution of this team from the beginning to the end of last season?
Well, you know, I think it wasn't only the outsiders that were wondering what we were going to become and what we were going to be like. The insiders, including myself, was wondering that as well. But, you know, I was really excited because that was going to be the test of whether or not we had built a solid culture. That was going to be the test of whether our identity and whether our perseverance and sort of our fundamentals of how we were building the foundations of the program were for real. And so as much as I wondered who would step up, I really believed that our culture was strong, that we believed that we knew how to win, we knew what it would take. But it definitely was difficult at the beginning to go, okay, there's all these people. There's not one person on the floor that was playing the same role. And so I think it was really an earning your confidence building process. And so throughout the year for us to, every day people kept saying, how do you give them confidence? And I kept saying, I don't. You got to earn confidence, and you got to earn that, because deep down I can make you feel good for a moment. But when you're in the heat of the battle, you're going to always sink to the level of your training and to see what you've earned and how you see yourself. And so I think it was just an evolution throughout the year, staying focused on the process. And I know that sounds very coach speakish, but that really was what last year taught me, is that that's for real. That that's not just something that coaches say. It really works, because that was really hard for the players at some points when we were 3-5 to actually believe that the process would eventually turn out okay. And even when they didn't seem like they were getting rewarded. And so I was really, it was one of my most rewarding years coaching-wise, because it was a fight to believe that we could become something special, and they were willing to embrace that fight.
Yeah, and, you know, especially towards the end of the season, you guys started beating teams that nobody thought mm-hmm. that you should beat. There was that win at Oregon that I think that mm-hmm. was the game where everyone kind of took a step back and like, whoa, okay, who is this team?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did something kind of click? Did the players just kind of come together? What happened during that late stretch?
Well, mentality is a powerful thing, right? And I think it really started when we went down to Arizona State. Arizona State was ranked 15th in the country. Mm-hmm. We go down there and win on a buzzer beater. Then we go 2 days later and we play a triple overtime game against a very good Arizona team and win that game. And then we continue on. It's like, we sort of started embracing like big crowds that were against us. It was like this, you know, this momentum thing that we actually garnered energy from that. And we really went in there. We were down 22 points in the first half, and then eventually, you know, cut it to 8 before the end of the first half, and then just had all the momentum. And but really it was about identity. It was about belief. It was about, you know, we really felt like we were a top team in the country, and we also loved playing on the road. And so that combination is like, if we hit a tipping point, we thought we could become good. We thought we might be a good team. And then all of a sudden, after that Arizona weekend, we believed we really were a good team. And then we sort of just started to, you know, roll after that point. So, you know, I think that, you know, mental toughness is a really important thing. And we talk about it a lot, but I think last year's team became one of the most mentally tough teams I've coached.
Yeah, and that's going to go a long way, especially since you bring back almost all every single player from last season. And as we just said, you know, the team ended really hot. You know, they you know, unfortunately ran into UConn in the Sweet 16. But yeah, those Huskies, they're really good. But I mean, your team was really impressive beating number 3 Maryland. You just showed a lot of perseverance, and so to have that roster come back, did you change your philosophy a little bit heading into the season? I know it's still early, but are you still kind of working with lineups? I know you have 4 new players. What is your mentality going into this season?
Well, you know, we do have a lot of great pieces back, but there has been a little bit of an adjustment, you know, losing Kennedy Burke, who ended up being a starter as a rookie in the WNBA, and Lajanae Drummer is playing professionally overseas right now. I think that defensive rebounding and defense has been the part that's been the hardest thing to replace. We can really score the ball this year. And so I think, you know, we are able to attack down the middle of the floor a lot better because we can shoot it a little bit better, even though our percentages really don't speak to that yet. But I think it will over the course of a whole season. But I think that we have some, I think we're a little bit different in the fact that we are smaller than we were last year, and it's going to be important for us to find out how we can defensive board in the midst of not being very big. But offensively, we have so much versatility, and we're posting up our guards a lot more with Lindsay Cassaro and Natalie Cho, and we obviously are getting great touches anywhere on the floor with Michaela Onionware. She's a walking bucket. We just need to find her in more spaces. But and then Jepree Steen, obviously we're thrilled to have her back for another year, and she just brings such great experience, competitive nature, and she's just a very confident, competitive point guard. So I think we have a lot of pieces on the offensive end that we can move around, and I think we're going to have to get high percentage shots, layups, back cuts, dribble penetrations, post-ups in very non-traditional ways. But the reason we're going to be able to do that is because we're going to be able to spread the floor more because we're able to shoot the three-point shot at a much higher rate.
Yeah, you talked about rebounding, and I know it's early, but so far through 3 games, you have 5 players, 6 players averaging over 5 rebounds a game. And I know Jepree, you know, she had 8 in just 1 game, but still, you know, that says a lot to what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing from the team this early in the season?
Yeah, and I'm going to be real honest with you. We haven't played a team with a lot of size yet, so mm-hmm. I'm thrilled with that. And I do think it's going to be rebounding by committee. And I think that Jepree is going to have those nights, right? That she's, you know, she doesn't crash the offensive board, so those are all coming on the defensive end. And maybe she's not rebounding in this physical fashion, but maybe it's off of a tip. Maybe it's running down the out of area ones that other people don't want to go after. I think we are going to have every single person, like every single defensive board is really going to matter because, you know, we're not going to be able to just stand in triangle rebounding positions and expect for us to out muscle people. We don't have the length or the size for that. You know, but we can be just as effective if we box out with more strategy and more consistency and everybody is involved in corralling rebounds every single possession. And to be honest with you, we're not there yet. I think that's an area that we really need to grow in, is everybody doing your part on the rebounding side of the ball. Even when the ball doesn't on your side of the floor, you got to build habits to be a championship level rebounder. And I think it's going to take everybody.
Talking about Jepree Steen, you know, it was exciting to find out that she was going to come back for another season, but because of the weird transfer situation, you know, she had to sit out the first 2 games of the season. Did was she upset about that? And how have you seen in practice? How has she responded to kind of having to wait?
Not at all. She wasn't disappointed one bit. That was a great trade-off, to be honest with you. Just to have this whole year, that was a small price to pay. I feel like I really thank all the people in the administration that worked really hard. That was the right decision. It was just for all that she had been through. And so I'm very grateful for that. But she was just so thankful. But I actually think it was a blessing in disguise. She also didn't play. She actually pulled her hamstring. And she didn't play against our closed scrimmage against Gonzaga, a very high-level NCAA tournament team, as well as against Louisville, projected to win the ACC. And, you know, we won both of those scrimmages. And the reason I think it's a blessing in disguise is it really forced Charisma Osborne, Jaden Owens, you know, those players to get lots of minutes against high-level competition, and as well as the first two regular season games. They had to step up. And I also, we started calling Ja'Cris Dean Coach Dean because we put her next to us on the bench. We had her call plays. We had her lead in huddles. We had her do a lot of things during that time. She actually wants to be a college coach someday. But I think it was good for her to lead from a different manner and see the game from a different way. I even had her sit in on a couple of film sessions that I had with Jaden and be more of a teacher. And so not only did I think it helped our young other guards, our freshman guards, but I also think it helped Ja'Cris grow as a leader. So I'm very, very grateful. I probably wouldn't have been as grateful if we lost one of those, but I think all things considered, I think it was a win-win on all accounts.
You have a superstar in the making in Mikayla Anyanwadi on your staff. She's only a junior, but she's already she was in a lot of several preseason award watch lists. What do you see from her? What can she do this year? What's her potential?
Well, her potential really is limitless. She's a three-level scorer. She's got a great mid-range game. She finishes at the rim. She's got a great back-to-the-basket game. And she's really, I mean, she's our second leading three-point shooting by person by percentage. And, you know, I think she's the thing that makes her so special is that I never have to coach her effort. She is one of the most exuberant and enthusiastic teammates. It's never about her. And at the same time, she's so competitive and will do anything to help her team. So, you know, she's one of those, you know, people who make my job really easy. And they don't come along that often that they're that talented with that level of work ethic and they're that good of a person. I mean, there's nobody on the team that doesn't just love being around Mikayla. And, you know, just really grateful that I get to be a part of her life, let alone the impact she's going to have on our season. You know, just what she did last summer, I think the first summer, in between her freshman and sophomore year, she transformed her game and she really worked on her outside shot, worked on her ability to attack off the bounce, and she just really made herself a great force. But then this summer, she played USA basketball and played 3-on-3. It's going to be the first Olympic sport this year, and she got to play at that level as well as playing on the Pan Am team and led their team in minutes played. And now I feel like she really believes that she added the skill, but now the experience and confidence. And she's really the complete package. I think she's the one thing I'm really challenging her to work on is now she's going to face a lot of double teams or as she attacks off the bounce, a lot of collapse and learning how to be a great passer at that speed, out of traffic, out of double teams. That's going to be the next thing she's got to really add to her game is being able to be in maintain that attack mentality, but also read the passing lanes as those gaps close. But, you know, I'm really a lucky head coach to be able to be around Mikayla, and I think she's teaching me more than I'm teaching her.
You know, women's basketball is growing in popularity, and a lot more people are paying attention to the WNBA, the WNBA draft. Before the last WNBA draft, there was talk about maybe Sabrina Ionescu from Oregon maybe leaving early. Is that something that has crossed your mind or thought about with Mikayla? If she has a magnificent season, is that a worry or something you've had to think about?
Well, the great thing is that Mikayla, as much as she values her basketball career, she values even more her education. And she comes from a family that really values education. And so we're really lucky that she's not going to do that. And she's so loyal and she's having a great time. She's enjoying being a college student. So I think we're pretty safe to have her for two more years. And so I really respect the players have the option, and every family situation is different, and every personal, journey is different. But thankfully, Michaela values the UCLA Bruin degree just as much, and she's going to finish that first.
Let me just say that's a sigh of relief, because especially on social media when people start talking, I'm like, okay, so to have Michaela here for 4 years, that's just fantastic. And especially with what you're building, you talked about it a little bit earlier. You have two seniors, you have four juniors, four or five sophomores, and four freshmen. I believe that's right. You are pretty even across the board. Like, you have done a fantastic job. And, you brought in three guards, one forward this last recruiting class, and now you have a class, two forwards, one guard, all international players. My first question is, how do you have time to analyze not just the local scene or national, but the international scene? That's amazing.
Well, I need to give total props to my entire staff, and it's not only my assistant coaches, but our entire support staff. They work tirelessly, and they're a whole lot smarter than I am, and they build relationships in recruiting circles with such genuineness. And, I just really have a great staff, and that's why we've been able to build those recruiting classes and layer them on top of each other, because it's not just that, it's also building the culture to keep those kids and, bought into what we're trying to do, because we really do have an uncommon mission. And if you only want to be a good basketball player and you don't value giving back to the community, growing as a human being, character development, you got to really commit to those things. And these players are deeply committed because of the investment of our staff. And I'm really grateful for that. But Tony is in our coordinator of international recruiting, and he has just done a spectacular job building those relationships. And it really did help that I was coaching USA basketball. I didn't have relational time, but literally I got to see those kids every single day for 2 weeks in Thailand. One of them had already committed. Emily from Germany had already committed, and I wasn't able to talk to them, but I got to see them live so many times. We scrimmaged. We played Australia twice. We played Germany twice. So all of those gave me such a great look, but they also got to observe me differently. And their parents came to my games and sort of studied me and what my manner was and how I interacted. I found out later, we were all in the same hotel, I found out that they were asking questions of the Americans, the kids, about me as a coach and what I was like. And, so there was all these chances to have observation of each other, both as people, but also as basketball players. And quite frankly, Australia had us beat in the gold medal game. And one of the biggest reasons is Gemma Potter was able to defend our lead guards for the U.S. team. And Izzy Anstey was able to shut down the post play. And so I called our staff right after the gold medal game. Actually, Tony was there in Bangkok, but I called the staff right after that and said, we've got to get these guys. I mean, they are tough as nails. They're gifted athletically, but also so skilled. Their basketball IQ is high. And we had already gotten, Emily from Germany. So I was already excited about that, but I knew we needed to add that toughness. And we've really been able to do it. So really credit our staff, but also really credit the opportunity to be a part of USA Basketball, because I think it gave us a look into the international scene at a deeper level that maybe I wouldn't have had otherwise.
Coach, thank you for joining us. Well, one last question. You still have the majority of the non-conference season coming up. I mean, you have tough games against Central Florida, Virginia, yep. Georgia, at Georgia and at Indiana. And then you have to go into Pac-12 play. What is Pac-12 basketball? What is Pac-12 women's basketball? What does it mean to you? I mean, the competition is just so good. Just talk about what you're going to have to experience once you get into season conference.
Yeah. Well, I think that, Bruin fans, I mean, we need you. We need you to pack Pauly. We need you to get behind us. Every night is such a grind. It's the number one conference in the country for women's basketball. They're projecting 8 teams from the Pac-12 to make the NCAA tournament. 4 of us are in preseason ranked in the top 10 in the country. It's going to be incredible. And I better be on my game. As Coach Wooden used to say, you better be better each year, otherwise you're going to get passed up. And Coach Wooden used to always talk about being a lifelong learner. and to always be excited to grow. And the Pac-12 forces you to do that, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to compete in the upper echelon. And so it really brings out the best in all of us as coaches as well as players. You know, I'm able to say in practice right now, you know, is that going to get it done when we're playing Oregon State on Big Monday, you know, on national TV? Is that a championship level stat, you know, rep, or, you know, whatever I'm able to do, because we know the conference is looming in all the right and best ways, and we're so excited to be a part of it. And, you know, when you're growing up as a kid, you're dreaming of playing and testing yourself against the best, competing with the best. And the fact that I'm able to offer that to families, both on the hardwood as well as in the classroom, as well as our total experience with our fans, it's pretty remarkable. And we really want LA to get excited about women's basketball. I give the Sparks a lot of credit this year. You had mentioned the popularity of the WNBA. They led the league in attendance this year. Wouldn't it be awesome if, you know, we led the league in attendance in the Pac-12 and the Sparks led the league in the attendance in the WNBA. We were up 300% in our viewership of the Pac-12 women's basketball last year. And there's so much momentum, and we're really excited. And the reality is, I mean, the last time a Bruin team has been to four straight Sweet 16s, men or women basketball, that team was coached by John Wooden. There's something special going on here, and I'm really excited. And our women are phenomenal human beings. They're great role models. Like, parents should want to bring their kids to our games. They're going to see good things. And I'm really proud of that. And so I really hope LA gets behind this team. And I hope we get to – I appreciate people like you that are willing to tell their stories. I'm biased, but I think they back it up. They're pretty spectacular. Their stories deserve to be told, and and we're actually the only of all the basketball, not in the NBA obviously, but of all the college teams in LA right now, we're the only one ranked in the top 15, and men or women. And so, you know, I hope that people can get really excited about that, and we're excited to represent such a great university in UCLA, and we're expecting big things ahead.
I mean, if this podcast doesn't inspire you to go out and check out UCLA women's basketball, I don't know what's wrong with you. This was an amazing episode, an amazing interview. Coach, thank you so much. Good luck this season. And, you know, we're just honored to have you on the podcast again.
Anytime. Thank you so much for what you're doing. And I look forward to checking in again soon.
Cool. Take care. Go Bruins.